Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One. This is Beyond a Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on the church. Get on Monday. Get on best hour or so. Well, 15 minutes or so in the universe, Beyond a Reasonable Doubt. And Mark Garagus in studio, everybody.
In studio, and there's so much going on. You know, Gary and I do, with our friend Brett, who does some of the research for us, we were trying to figure out which stories to do. And I think it came down to the Durham investigation. I know you've been following, and there were some really kind of bombshells out of that yesterday. They're prosecuting a lawyer. Durham is, who's the special counsel who was appointed by the former AG Barr. And in the prosecution for the lawyer, Gary can correct me if I'm wrong, I believe they said that there was a filing that said somebody who was working for, they only identified him as what, Gary, tech guy number one or something?
Tech executive one.
Yeah. Mm. Who has been identified in some reporting. And apparently tech guy number one, for lack of a better term, had access to non-public servers that serviced the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And the implication and allegation is that he was trying to access that non-public data in order to find a connection to Russia.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, both prior and then during the time Trump was in the White House, which has got Trump in the stratosphere in the last 12 hours, because he's, first of all, very upset that it's not being reported everywhere. But I took a look at the filing, and Gary, I don't think I'm exaggerating to say that filing supports what he has been saying, does it not?
Yeah, it does. And he came out with a statement, I guess, supporting it, but also just slamming everyone for not covering it. And
well, you know, the thing, so a couple things. One is allegedly or reportedly the guy's name is Rodney Jaffe, number one. Number two, It's getting all kinds of play on Fox. It's not really getting zero everywhere else.
Oh, you couldn't find it in my world.
Ironically, a little bit of reporting on CNN, but not NBC or ABC or CBS or in any of the other networks. So,
you know, there's a woman reporter, I follow her on Twitter, for CBS, I believe, who's really deep in the woods on this. But I haven't seen her, other than her Twitter account, I haven't seen it anywhere.
Well, there's a thing that we're at an inflection point. And I thought it was interesting with CNN, because what they'll do, if you watch Fox, they'll put up, here's how many minutes were given to this story on, you know, the eight major outlets or networks. And it'll be NBC zero and CBS zero and 000. And then it got to CNN. It was like 2.5 minutes, which sounds like not much, but in TV time, that's enough to get into a subject, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was watching it and I thought, now it's interesting that CNN, out of all the networks, gave it some airplay because it was zero everywhere else. So everywhere else is understandable in that, and now we're at a weird, as I said, inflection point in terms of news gathering, because there's Leslie Stahl on 60 Minutes sitting with Trump, and Trump's going, I was spied on, and she's like, sir, this is 60 Minutes, we cannot lie, you know, to the audience. And he's going, look it up, like I was spied on. And she's like, sorry, we're not going there. All right, so now CBS is in a weird position. Because if they do report on it, then what's that mean for 60 Minutes?
And see, and, like and, I said, the
and what's it mean? So every one of those networks has it, if there was a counter, it'd be 700,000 hours of Russian collusion and Steele dossier and Adam Schiff giving his speeches and he's, you know, bombshell out of, you know, so-and-so. And now they're in this weird position of having a report, but they're not really reporting on Trump. And they're not really reporting on Durham. They're reporting on themselves being wrong for 3 years. So that's an interesting position. But CNN did. And you thought, I thought to myself, well, wait a minute. They were the tip of the spear for the Russian collusion and the Steele dossier. And Trump's insane. Leave Hillary out of this. No one spied on you. They're the tip of that spear. But there's a regime change going on over there. And I hear that Discovery or History or someone's buying CNN.
Discovery.
And the rumors are they're going to clean house. So maybe this is the beginning, if only CNN, out of all those entities. So there's seven or eight entities. They're all the big ones, you know. They all gave it zero. The one that was most adamant about it did report on it, and they're the only ones that are being bought out and cleaning house, presumably. So it seems like preemptively, it takes a long time to turn an aircraft carrier around, but I think somebody said, we're going to start turning this aircraft carrier around.
Well, when we had predicted 8 weeks ago that there was going to be a bombshell, basically, at CNN, and the regime change, and I know Drew had mentioned, and we had mentioned that the purchase was in the works, so to speak, and that the purchasor wanted them to return more to what Ted Turner had envisioned originally for the network, which was a place that you could go for 20 minutes and get the news. That was kind of his theory. And then at night, he famously made Larry King the long-form interview of the newsmaker of the day, and that was a people forget what a highly successful kind of combination that was. I don't know that you can return to it. Obviously, the world evolves. But I can tell you one thing. It's extremely difficult today to get – I mean, the amount of effort and research to just get news, to get it, and to not be in your individual bubble, like I say, my world, whatever, is really difficult.
Well, what you have to do is, I think if you're on the left, you have to burn a few more calories because to find out the middle ground or what the other side of the story is. Because the left is kind of the norm, which I'll put it to you this way. You go to any airport in the country, all the monitors are playing CNN. They're not playing Fox. That's the country. That's a sort of default, and I think they lost that contract or something. But just as an example, you shall find it there. It's the norm. It's the mainstream when you listen to the radio, USA Today. USA Today was just a newspaper for dumb people with color pictures in it. USA has pulled to the left, LA Times, New York Times. So all the mainstream stuff. So if you want to kind of figure out what's going on, or at least find out the alternative viewpoint, you'll have to go somewhere to the right because the left is ubiquitous. It's everywhere. We hear it all the time. So you don't, if you're on the right, you don't really need to go, I'm going to sit down and watch an hour of CNN a day, because you sort of bathe in it. It's like, yeah, everyone knows the Steele dossier. Everyone knows the Russian collusion. Everyone knows everyone knows the story, you know, Kyle Rittenhouse, his mom drove him with an AR-15 across state lines. Like, you get all of that. That's the ubiquitous stuff that's everywhere all the time. It's in the zeitgeist. You're going to have to seek it out a little if you want to find it on the other side.
You do have to burn the calories to get outside of the bubble.
It's funny. Speaking of Richard Steele and Durham, I'm always interested when the news only has one picture of somebody.
And it's always Richard's, that one picture where he's coming at you.
I'm sorry. Christopher Steele. Richard Steele is a boxing ref. Christopher Steele. There's just the one picture of him that they would use all the time. And then Durham, there's that one picture.
The one picture where he looks like he's coming at you.
He goes, I'm coming for you. Yeah. That's you're next. Yeah. Whoever's watching this, I'm coming. But he has that picture. He looks super earnest, a little bit angry. And now he appears to be a pretty methodical guy. And he doesn't appear, sorry for that. He doesn't appear to be a guy who's into that partisan or hyperbole or whatever. He seems detail oriented and sort of methodical. Because I think Trump was like, where were you a year ago? I could have, or 15 months ago, I could have used this shit for the election. But I think his thing was like, I wasn't here yet.
I think it's kind of for him as a prosecutor, it's probably a badge of distinction.
Right. So the thought on the right is there's more.
But there's another one. There's one of him.
He's in front of the courthouse.
Courthouse. And there's like people behind him. It's like leading a charge of.
He has his G-men behind him, is how I would. He's Elliot Ness with his G-men behind him on the court steps, is what that looks like. And by the way, everyone looks like they're in on the photo.
Right?
There it is.
That's the shot. That's the money shot right there.
So
if you're a prosecutor, that's the shot you want, right?
So it appears that he's...
I don't think this guy's giving out deferred prosecutions.
The theory is he's got someone to roll over.
Right.
And the other thought is, or he stated it, there's more coming. So
I think it's clear. Usually in the federal system, the fact that they went after the lawyer, I think, and for a false statement, I think you're absolutely right. There's more coming, and tech exec number one may be next in the firing line, so to speak, or the prosecutorial firing line. I think there's more to this story than has been reported on, that's for sure. I've always not been a fan of special counsels, so I'm not embracing that. I think whether it's on the left or the right, there usually is a motivation that you don't want a prosecutor whose mission is to, you know, basically here's the target, go find the crime. But it's interesting the way it's being reported. It's fascinating to me, the documents that were filed, and there's going to be a lot more to this. We may have more by tomorrow too. I think there's going to be some more stuff coming out.
You can find Leslie Stahl with Trump on 60 Minutes. It's kind of funny, but it's a clip that's out there. All right, you want to switch to
Sarah Palin, which is interesting. The jury's out deliberating.
Mm-hmm.
The judge and they're not sequestered. Mm-hmm. So the judge comes out and he says, I'm going to dismiss this case that you haven't met the bar.
I've been dying to ask you.
Yeah. Yeah. You haven't hit malice. That's a very high bar. And I don't know if her lawyer said it, but if I'm the lawyer, I'm going to be saying, well, why did you have to? What made you want to announce it right now? Except that the jury is going to get that in the ether, and you're going to let them deliberate, come back, and what do you think they're going to do if you've already announced publicly that you're going to dismiss it? And sure enough, they came back, and they found for the New York Times after they had been asking for various things. So the package on appeal here is going to be something. This case has already been reversed once by the circuit court. The Judge Rakoff had dismissed it first things first, and that was reversed. And it is mind-boggling to me. I do not understand, and I've been trying to follow this case. I don't understand why you would create an issue by announcing that you're going to dismiss it when you have an unsequestered jury.
How commonplace is this?
That's hardly ever. I don't think I've ever heard of it.
What's
in this situation.
What's in it for him or her?
Well, it's a him. I'm speculating here, and I've been in front of this judge, and he did something that I disagreed with greatly in that instance, but I won't bore you with that now, but also kind of taking a case away. This takes the case away, basically. It's a manner
right,
in which,
but why – I always think about your motivation. you know, he has a son that works at the New York Times or something, you know, or he's partisan, or this would enable this to be done on appeal, or what's his motivation to insert himself at this hour?
I'm only speculating again, and probably will never appear in front of him again. But I can only speculate is that he hated the case. That's why he dismissed it at the beginning, didn't like the case, and that he obviously thinks malice is almost an insurmountable bar because it was a question of fact for the jury, should have been a question of fact for the jury. And so if you're it's inexplicable. He's been reversed once by the circuit in this matter, and now he's throwing it back up to the circuit to say basically, okay, maybe you should have listened to me the first time.
Are they going to appeal it?
Yeah, I think they will.
And they'll get someone else as a judge?
Well, they'll get the Circuit Court of Appeal to at least look at the record. I don't want to say diabolical in a pejorative sense, but it is a Machiavellian kind of way to eliminate the case, because you not only telegraph to the jury that the that you don't think they've met their burden, they didn't meet an element of the allegation, which was malice, and while they're deliberating, and then you say, do you want me to tell them not to look in the media, which would, and then he says to, I suppose that would highlight it. Well, you know, it's going to get out in the ether. How could you be on that jury and go outside of that courthouse and not know that the judge said, I don't care what the jury does, I'm dismissing this?
We have the Leslie Stahl here with Trump.
So the biggest scandal was when they spied on my campaign. They spied on my campaign.
There's no real evidence of that.
Of course there is. No. It's all over the place. Leslie,
sir,
they spied on my campaign and they got caught.
Can I say something? You know, this is 60 Minutes. And we can't put on things we can't verify.
You won't put it on because it's bad for Biden.
We can't put on things we can't verify.
Leslie, they spied on my campaign.
Well, we can't verify
that. It's been totally verified.
No.
It's been, just go down and get the papers. They spied on my campaign. They got caught.
No.
And then they went much further than that, and they got caught.
No.
And you will see that, Leslie. And you know that, but you just don't want to put it on the air.
No, as a matter of fact, I don't know that.
Okay. Oh, I miss Trump. Because I love when he just goes, I know what you're doing. You're 60 Minutes. You did. By the way, 10 minutes later, you did a whole fucking hack job hit piece on Ron DeSantis. So are you 60 Minutes?
But
the answer
is
you were 60 Minutes. You're not 60 Minutes anymore.
What has happened with the media is really, it's sad. Because I'm old enough to remember when intrepid reporters were there to hold accountable people in power and to follow the facts, as opposed to, I've got a story, I don't care about the facts. Because that's kind of when you get that dismissive. I was just dealing with this with two reporters who will remain nameless. I show them documents. I said, this is what the documents show. We don't believe that.
Yeah, well, first off, as a reporter, your job is to go, Mr. President, you think you were spied on? Tell us more.
Tell us more.
Why?
You want to know.
What are we
Why?
Basing this
Why?
On?
Why? Not to go, no.
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 No. That's what I was doing yesterday. Here's the document. Here's what it says. Are you telling me the document's forged? No. But you're telling me that somebody denies that they got the money that on the document it says was wired to them. So explain that to me. Why are you questioning me? Question the person who says they didn't get the money when it's got the money on their bank statement. I mean, it's infuriating how stupid the people are. And mind you, they will print stuff. And then they don't, you know, it's like, who cares? You know, malice is a tough bar to hurdle. So what are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to tease the Rust, I should say, that the movie set animation video for the big show tomorrow, which Gary says is pretty spectacular.
Was that Brian Panish who did it?
I'm not exactly sure what the design studio is, but there's a watermark on there, so we'll be able to see it when we play it tomorrow. But yeah, I'm interested in just seeing how Mark breaks it down, because I thought it was very well thought out the way they mix the animation with some pop culture media appearances to make this video that's, you know, in about 2 minutes.
When you look at it, see if it was Brian, because I like and admire Brian. He's a great lawyer.
Will do.
Well, it strikes me it's going to be more and more of this coming into the courtroom, right?
Right. I mean, I'll give Ben credit in our office. Ben was kind of doing these kinds of things.
Boring cop.
Boring cop. He was early money on that. The idea that you can implant stuff, you can embed stuff, you can do the hyperlinks. I mean, it's a real skill set that's, you know, now, courts are now in opinions doing some of that stuff, embedding stuff
really?
In the opinions. Yeah.
All right. You can go to AdamCarolla.com because I'm going to be going all over the place doing live shows. And what do you got, Mark?
Well, Gigi's down at the V really kind of knocked it out of the park yesterday for Valentine's Day, 10E. The Mediterranean tapas, the people were loving it yesterday. If you're in Times Square, stop by Prova. And if you're traveling by train in Grand Central Terminal, also go down there. We're right next to the Shake Shack.
So until next time, I'm Crow for Mark Garriga saying mahalo.
Thanks for listening to Beyond a Reasonable Doubt. Stay tuned for more bonus episodes coming soon.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.